As you know, ashes were distributed during three different masses, two other services on Ash Wednesday. And after the 8:30 Mass with the school children, as I'm walking back into the sacristy, my path crosses the path of the preschoolers. They're ready to go back to the classes. And one little guy looks up at me and says, "Can I wipe this off?" I said, "Sure, sure." I wasn't going to get into some type of theological penitential debate with the preschooler. Perhaps he wasn't Catholic. Perhaps he wasn't Christian. Perhaps he just didn't like the idea of somebody drawing a cross on his forehead with dirt. Who knows what the reason was? For those of us who have participated at Mass on Ash Wednesday, you might have noticed a rather adversarial tone in the collect. The collect is the opening prayer at Mass. It's called collect because we say, "Let us pray." There's a moment of silence, and then the priest says a prayer collecting all the other prayers. Well, in the collect on the first day of Lent, the prayer spoke of the Lenten season as a campaign of Christian service, a battle against spiritual evils, and a time during which we are armed with weapons of self-restraint. While most of us tend to be nonviolent and non-militaristic, this prayer reminds us that there is such a thing as good versus evil, right versus wrong, sin and virtue. In the Gospel of Mark, the Spirit who empowers Jesus to cast out demons drives Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the demons. In the scripture, the wilderness, because of its remoteness, was a place where God revealed himself, a place where folks entered into covenant love with God. But it was also a place of testing and a place of confrontation. We're told he spent 40 days, and that number 40 can symbolize the 40 years the Israelites spent in the desert. It could also mean the 40 days of fasting that Moses spent on Mount Sinai before he received the commandments. It could also refer to Elijah spending 40 days in prayer on Mount Horeb. In the Bible, 40 is also a symbol for a long time. We often use the words tempted and tested as if they mean the same thing, but that's not always the case in the scriptures. To be tempted in the New Testament meant that Satan was involved. Satan encourages us to sin. Satan is the liar, the deceiver, the hinderer. The demon opposes God's word. The demon wants to block our way along the right path. The demon often leads us off the right path to a different path. The demon in Scripture oftentimes behaves in such a way that the person experiences self-destruction. And so there's a struggle going on. Jesus is tempted by Satan, we are told. In the scripture, there's another word that's used. It's a word tested, that God will often test his people. And more often than not, those experiences of testing involve some type of suffering. God doesn't answer our prayer the way we want God to answer our prayer. God doesn't behave the way we want God to behave. We're experiencing some type of suffering. And we begin to wonder, is God trustworthy or isn't God trustworthy? And those moments of testing, those moments of doubt, those moments of decision-making where we decide to remain faithful, even though God seems to be mysterious and silent, can purify our faith and help us to mature as disciples of the Lord Jesus. It would be foolish and naive of us to deny and ignore our adversaries, especially the spiritual forces. They are not figments of uneducated imaginations. Our first reading and second reading call to mind the cleansing waters of baptism. On the day of our baptism, we were washed clean of original sin. We became members of the church and temples of God's Holy Spirit. And on that day, for most of us, our parents or our godparents rejected Satan and all of his nasty works and all of his deceptive lies and empty promises. But since then, if we're honest with ourselves, we've sinned. We've made decisions that were not just mistakes, they were sinful. In some cases, faithful worship of the Lord our God has become, for so many Christians, Catholics included, occasional worship. Human life, created in God's image and likeness, the only life that is created in God's image and likeness, is being disrespected and so easily disposed of and violently abused. You know, last week I made a reference to some biblical scholars saying that the word pity means that you see suffering so great it makes you sick, you want to vomit. Or you see suffering so great you want to give birth to something good and new. What happened Wednesday in Florida? How do you react to that type of violent suffering? Kids against kids. Media overload is creating minds that are numb. Not everything's a game. And hearts that are cold. Lying, coveting, ignoring boundaries have become for some socially accepted norms. And too often there's such a double standard. All is permitted, and no one is to judge unless I find it offensive. The need for the saving and redeeming power of Christ is so evident in this non-gloomy season of Lent. Is a time to confront the adversity of evil with conversion and grace and mercy. Confrontations, including spiritual ones, can be scary and downright tiring. That's why our encounters with God in prayer, the support we offer to each other, are so valuable. During Lent, we confront the bullying of the evil one and say, enough is enough. Our moments of prayer, our self-discipline, our response to those who are in need, our self-denial, help us to confront the forces of evil. Christ, who suffered for our sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, continues to be our reason for hope. And in so many ways, he is our only reason for hope.